morning from Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, begin reading in verse 24. Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their master. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called by even worse names. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness shall abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They can't touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not one single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs of your head all are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came to not bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father and mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Well, yesterday was the 4th of July, Independence Day. Today we celebrate freedom. I think for the most part in the world today, we have really forgotten what freedom is about. That freedom is not about the freedom to do whatever it is we want to do. Freedom is the ability and the freedom to do what we should do. And one of the things that we should do is be on a mission with Jesus. 3 weeks ago, we looked at the fact that Jesus was on earth on a mission. That he came healing, preaching, and teaching. And as he was doing this, he saw that the harvest was great and that he knew more workers were needed. And so he told his workers to pray, and then he calls his followers to be on a mission as well. And we saw in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 8, that we are on a mission. That Jesus calls his disciples to continue his mission, and he calls ordinary, willing people like you and me. We are the recipients of his free gift of life. And so freely we have received it, and freely we are to give it. That's our mission. But when we accept this mission, Jesus lets us know that it's not going to be a leisurely walk in the park. He says that we're going to face challenges, that we'll face persecution, that there will be opposition. Yes, there will be rewards of his approval and of his presence, but there's going to be some challenges and conflicts to be met. And so Jesus told the disciples what they would face. He says, you're going to be handed over to the courts, and you're going to be flogged in the synagogues, and you're going to stand trial before the governors and the kings, and you're going to be like sheep among wolves. That's not a very pretty picture, is it? You know, the first things he said there, you know, those aren't really pretty either, but wolves among the sheep really isn't pretty. It doesn't really make things look too good. He said, but all this is coming, but as it comes, you're to be as shrewd as a snake. That means we're to be sensible. We're to be prudent. We're not to be gullible simpletons, but we are to possess practical wisdom. In fact, the same word that Jesus used here was used of Satan in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 when he deceived Eve. And Jesus isn't saying that we, that his disciples, that we're to be deceptive. That's not what he's saying. Rather, what he is saying is we are to have a wisdom of right and wrong and good and evil. You see, Satan knew what was good. Satan knew what good and evil was. Satan knew what right and wrong was. And he was enticing Eve to do wrong, to do the evil. And so Jesus said we're to be shrewd like that. We know what right and wrong is, except we're not supposed to be pushing people toward the bad and the evil. We're to be taking them toward the good and the right. He also said we're to be harmless doves. Innocent. Unmixed. Pure. Transparent. Honest. Sincere. Above reproach. You know, our lives are to be such that, as we read up elsewhere in the scripture, is that when people really try to bring harm upon us and try to put us down, our lives are lived in such a way that really the good ones put to shame. Because our lives are lived above reproach. And so we're to be shrewd and we're to be harmless. And being shrewd and harmless is living out what Romans 16:19 tells us, where Paul wrote, to be wise in doing right and to stay innocent in any wrong. So we're on this mission. And as we go on this mission, opposition will come. Not everyone is going to receive you. Some will ignore you. Some will oppose you. Maybe in a violent way, like a wolf attacking sheep. In the mission of the church, there will be opposition. It's going to come. The opposition, we will see it on the national level, the local level, even in our own homes. Jesus said one family member will turn against another family member. And if you've read any of the missionary books from years past, you've read stories of how that has actually happened. You've heard people testify about how a family member accepted Jesus and the other family members actually turned them over to the authorities. Or at the very least, made them an outcast and shunned them and told them they weren't part of the family anymore. You see, accepting Jesus and going on a mission for Him is very serious business. And the truth is, you know, we live in America today where we think we're free and we are free and we think that everything ought to be going really good because we are Christians, and somehow we've got this Western mindset that if we're really Christians, opposition's not going to come because God's grace is just going to take care of everything and take care of the enemy that's before us. You know, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said opposition will come because Jesus was opposed. And a student's not above the teacher. A slave's not above the master. We're not above Jesus. We should not expect anything different than the one that we're following gets. And what did Jesus get? He got opposed. He was not accepted. You see, our goal as a disciple of Jesus is to be like Jesus. And every now and then we sing that song, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art." And we like that part, "pure as thou art." And so being like Jesus involves more than being pure. Because we've been forgiven. And because we've been cleansed from sin. You see, being like Jesus involves acting like Jesus. And so we are to accept opposition like Jesus. Jesus was called the Prince of Demons. And Jesus said his followers should expect no less. In fact, we should expect worse. But let's face it. We really don't know persecution or opposition here in Northern Arkansas. We really don't. We're not going to be handed over to the courts because of what we believe. At least not yet. Not in this country yet. We're not going to be flogged in church. of us have never had anyone really oppose us. We've had a lot ignore us, maybe, but not really oppose us to the point that we felt like we were being persecuted. But the early church faced persecution. Many of them died a martyr's death. And the truth is, even today, in 2020, there are martyrs in our world today. Oh, we don't hear about it on the evening news. In fact, we don't read about it anywhere, really. Every now and then, in some of the prayer requests that come out of a headquarters, we will see some mention of praying for those who are in the access areas to where people cannot even stand up publicly and say they're a Christian. But you know, the truth is, there are Nazarenes today who have given their life for their faith while they've been on the mission. Nazarenes today who have been persecuted in other world areas and gave up their life. There are others who, by the grace of God, have escaped death, but they still endure severe persecution. It's more like the song we sang this morning, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Aren't you glad through it all, God still gives us? You see, this opposition is going to come, though, because following Jesus is divisive. Jesus says, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And you know, we look at that verse of Scripture, verse 34, we look at it, and it's just the opposite of what the angel said at the birth. Remember what the angel said at the birth? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You know, the thing is, Jesus did not come to cause division. But His coming demands a decision that results in division. When you become aware of Jesus, you can't remain indifferent, and you can't remain neutral. You have to decide which way you're going to go. Are you going to follow Jesus, or are you going to deny Him and not follow Jesus? You have to make that decision. And there will be division between those who follow and those who do not follow Jesus. You see, it's a principle that's true everywhere in life. If you believe one thing and somebody else believes something else, there is a division between you. If you want to live one way and somebody else wants to live another way, that there's a division between you. That there's a barrier there that needs to be crossed. And so following Jesus is going to cause division. Even within families and amongst friends. When you identify yourself with Jesus and you confess Him as Lord, you've become a part of a war. You have become a part of a conflict. But what we need to remember is our opposition and our conflict and our war is not against the other individuals. Too often times we make it such. But Paul tells us it's not about individuals. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, we are not fighting against humans. We are fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. I like what Peterson put it in the Message. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. Folks, when we face opposition, we're not fighting and opposing people. We're opposing Satan. We're opposing his angels. Because we're called to love those people. We're called to try to bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But too often, we get our focus off what the real problem is. And we focus on the individual instead of the evil that is present. See, the conflict will show up in our relationship with others. But it's not against each other. It's against evil. conflict arises because others do not understand the loyalty following Jesus Christ requires. You see, Jesus must be our first love. You cannot love anything or anyone more than Jesus. He's our first love. Obedience to the kingdom of God must be a priority. It must be our supreme allegiance. Anything less puts a disciple in the condition of the Ephesian church in Revelation, where they are accused of forsaking the love they had at first. They forsook their first love. We must be careful to keep Jesus first. When you live your life Jesus first, others will not understand, and conflict will result. And so Jesus tells us to expect conflict. But while we're expecting the conflict, he said, take courage. Take courage in the face of conflict. And don't be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. Everything's going to be exposed. Everything's going to be uncovered. Everything's going to be disclosed. Everything's going to be made known. You know, we read that and we go, how can you lose? Everything is going to be exposed. You got any secrets? You got anything you're hiding from someone else? Or from everyone else? Is there something in your life, as far as you know, nobody knows anything about it, and you just assume keep it that way? Well, the Bible tells us one day everything's going to come to light. Everything's going to be exposed. But we still go, how's that good news? Because Jesus here is talking about good news. How is everything being exposed good news? Well, the good news is, it's for those who are oppressed. And Jesus has just said that if we're going to follow him, we can expect opposition. We can expect to be oppressed. And so now the good news is for us. You see, the oppressor is going to be exposed. The evil is going to be exposed. The evil motives, the wickedness will be made public. Evil and injustice will come to light. God does not let evil and injustice go on forever. It will be brought to light and it will be judged. Paul told the Roman church, and this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Jesus Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. We live, even in a state of opposition, we live in the light of God's judgment. God is going to expose everything. And so Jesus tells us, don't be afraid. When the conflict comes, don't be afraid. You know, sometimes we live in fear a lot. We fear health issues. And we fear financial issues. And we fear relationship issues. And we fear security issues. And we fear being opposed. But Jesus tells us, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body. Because that's all they can do. And you know, there's not one of us that want to die. I mean, I don't want to die, and I don't think any of you want to die. We don't want to die, but Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who can just kill the body. Don't be afraid of those who can just kill this outward body of ours, which is an expression of your whole person that is described as your soul. Because they can't touch your soul. No one can hurt the whole body. No one can hurt the soul. Because they can't access it. All they can destroy is this body. And so they can't destroy you. They can only destroy the outward expression of you. He said, don't be afraid of them. See, if you're going to be afraid of someone, be afraid of God. Because God can kill a soul. God is the only one who can destroy the soul and the body in hell. He's the only one who can. But the good news is that will only happen if you refuse to serve him, if you refuse to follow him. That's not our destiny. who created us, God is the only one who can destroy us.
If we're following Jesus, we don't have to worry about that.
Paul said, so there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus.
See, the only reason to be afraid of God is because of His wrath due to your own unfaithfulness. When you are faithful, you don't need to be afraid of God. You just need to fear Him.
You respond to Him in awe and obedience. When you fear God, you can respond to the conflict with courage because God cares for you. You are of value to God. You are of worth to God. You matter to God. You matter to God more than a flock of sparrows. What's a sparrow worth? Even in Jesus' day, a sparrow was considered a worthless bird. It was the food for the poorest of the poor. Two sparrows were valued at one copper coin, about a 1/16 of a denarius. They say about a cent. So one sparrow was worth a half a cent. What's a penny worth today? You know, usually when I was growing up, if you defaced money, you were in trouble. A penny is worth so much today, you can go to tourist attractions and drop a penny in and put 50 cents or a dollar in and pull out your souvenir because they squish the penny and put a form of wherever it is you're at on it. That's how much a penny's worth. It's not worth much of anything. Yet Jesus said, God knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. And some take this to mean that God knows when a sparrow dies. But other scholars take it to mean that God knows when a sparrow lands on the ground. And when he hops and lands again. And when he flies off and lands again. God knows each time that sparrow touches the ground. Do you get it? What we consider worthless, God values, God knows, and God cares what happens to it. And Jesus said, you're more valuable than a flock of sparrows. You're more valuable than a worthless bird. God knows you so well, He even knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows how many you had, how many you've lost, and how many you have left. One man has said a hair is a very little thing, but its structure is made up of a world of parts. There is a root, and there is a stem, and there is a vein, and there is a fluid, and there is a membrane, and every part is arranged and fitted and guarded and fed. And 1,000 functions are going on to sustain that little thread-like thing. And as small as it is, God knows that in your life. How many hairs are on your head? Some of us will say a bunch, and some of us will say, well, not as many as we used to. But you know the truth is, none of us know. I have no idea how many hairs on the top of my head. I don't know. But God knows. He has every hair number. That's how much you matter to Him. That's how much you care to Him. He's numbered every one of them. He cares about you. So don't be afraid. Because God knows what is happening to you. He knows. Jay Coleraw sat in a room one time where there was a little blind girl who was sitting on her father's knee. And the father was grasping his daughter with one arm. And Jay Coleraw went in and without a word he removed the father's arm and picked up the little girl and began to walk out of the room. And her father asked her, said, are you afraid? You don't know who has you. And the little girl responded, no, I don't know who has me, and I'm not afraid, For I know that you know who has me. Folks, when the conflict comes, God knows who's got you. God knows where you're at. God knows what is going on. Nothing will happen that is out of His view. He has providential care over the least details. Nothing is outside of His concern or His control. And in His grace, He will either deliver you in the conflict or He will deliver you through the conflict. Nothing, nothing in your life escapes God's notice, not even your death. He knows. He has the power to destroy your body and your soul. But why be afraid? Why be terrified? Because He cares for you. He's got your back. So when we come face to face with Jesus, and when we come face to face with a conflict, we have a decision to make. Are we going to deny Him or confess Him? When a conflict comes, we can deny it. We can deny it with our words. You know, if we deny Him, we have a reason to be afraid. Because we have put our body and our soul at stake. When we deny Him with our words, when we speak in such a way as to not be offensive, when we speak in such a way that it looks more like we're conforming than transforming, when it looks like we're really just being a part of the world, not really wanting to stand out, we deny Him. We can deny Him with our silence. When we don't speak the words of Christ, when we remain silent against evil in its many forms, when we just silently stand by and don't declare on which side it is we do stand, we can deny Jesus with our actions. We may swear allegiance to Jesus, but our actions are not honest and they're not honorable. We might call it a little white lie, but folks, it's not Christ-like nonetheless. We deny Him. When the conflict comes, though, you can choose to trust Him. You can pick up your cross knowing He's got your back. You will not be silenced. Your words will be true to your confession of Jesus. Your actions will be an expression of your confession. And with the psalmist and the author of the Hebrews, you will say, "The Lord is with me. The Lord is my helper. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Folks, the only thing He can do is in the outward expression of who you really are. He can't destroy you. He can't kill you. When we begin to follow Jesus, we set out on an adventure with Him, knowing He's got our back. It's an adventure where you will claim, He will claim you before the Father in heaven. It's an adventure that results in a life that cannot be taken away from you. It's an adventure that requires a radical commitment to Jesus that very well may result in conflict and persecution, but you can face with courage because the one you are committed to can be trusted. He's got your back. You see, we are on a mission. The big question I think this morning is, how are you doing? How are you doing on the mission? How are you doing when the opposition and the conflict comes? How are you doing in continuing to do what Jesus did? He walked upon the face. Dear God, this morning, as we come and we bow before You today, what we want to say is that we love You and we're committed to You. And dear God, we want to be a people who are on a mission with You. Even when the opposition comes, we're on a mission with You. Dear God, may our trust and our faith be so deep into you, dear God, that we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt you have our back. You know what's happening. You know what's going on. You know our heart. And you are with us. You are our helper. It is in you we trust. Dear God, in these moments this morning, we just ask that you would help us to examine our hearts and lives. And is there anything in our life, dear God, that would even get a shame that we deny? That would even give a hint, dear God? If there is, dear God, would you reveal that to us this morning? Would you, dear God, forgive us? And would you so fill us, dear God, today with your Holy Spirit that we, in the face of conflict, can be like Jesus? That you, dear God, would remove the fear within us, that we wouldn't be afraid, not of those around us, but we would just be in fear of God and hold Him at all and follow Him in obedience and be the children of God as He calls us. Help us, dear God, in these days to follow You and to be Yours. Thank You, dear God, for caring for us, for loving us, joining us today. I trust that you will have